The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days later, after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. So I've been away from the parish for a few days. I just got back from celebrating a wedding. If those of you who know Rick Caporelli, who works here in the parish, his daughter Emily was married this weekend, Emily and Chase, and it was so great because I've known her since she was in kindergarten at my last parish. So that's about 20 years of lived experience. And so anyway, this homily is going to be a little bit shorter this week. Anyway, Pope Francis has had a few things to say about homilies lately. He says they should never exceed 8 minutes. So you got to love Pope Francis, right? You just have to love him. Well, I've told this story before, but today's gospel reminds me of a guy who would come to confession pretty regularly. He would always confess to having distractions when he was trying to pray. After a number of these confessions, I asked him if he might give me an example of what he was talking about. He said that when he was trying to say his rosary, his mind would be filled with the trouble he was having getting along with his wife, and he was filled with thoughts of what he needed to do to heal the relationship. He called these things distractions. I said to him, "Those are not distractions. Those are answers to prayer. God is speaking to you." You see, he wasn't listening. He was determined to get those prayers in and didn't realize that 99% of prayer is actually listening. It's actually being present to God. We expect God to be present to us all the time, the real presence, right? And most of the time, we don't make it a priority to be really present to him, even when we are convincing ourselves that we are doing the right thing. What's wrong with God anyway? Why is he not listening to me? Actually, it is our job as creatures to be attentive and listen to our Creator. He didn't make us all to be little creators. That guy in confession wasn't listening to God, and I'm guessing that that was part of the problem with his marriage. He wasn't listening to his wife either. So put yourself in the scene in today's gospel as one of the disciples. You are walking along with Jesus. He has turned the crowd away so that he can have this personal time just with you, to teach you and the other disciples, and to reveal his biggest news yet. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days later he will rise. Jesus is revealing to them the Paschal mystery, the basic kerygma, the proclamation of the gospel, of sin, redemption, the cross, and the empty tomb. It says in the gospel, we didn't understand, but were afraid to ask any questions to help ourselves understand better. Apparently, we didn't give it another thought. It didn't even register. We had to be reminded after the fact that the events of the Last Supper, Calvary, and the empty tomb were already predicted in advance. We were not being present to Jesus, who was walking with us and telling us the mystery of salvation. Rather, we became preoccupied with ourselves and started discussing who among us is the greatest. How long had we known him at this point? How could our conversation in that moment be so opposite to what Jesus was trying to reveal? He was going to give up his life so that he could take it up again. He was freely willing to allow this to happen. This should have at least shocked the disciples and brought a word of protest, but they were only thinking of their own status. What does that mean for us to be truly present to God? Who is God anyway? People all have different answers. He's the one who started all this mess, isn't he? He's the one that needs to clean this up. He should give me what I want, maybe even what I need. He seems to allow a lot of bad things to happen to people, maybe even me. These thoughts all reduce God to a function. He exists to do the right thing. But if we think of God first as a person, not as a human person or personality, but a being whose nature is to relate with other persons, then we can begin to see him as one whose nature is the love of relationship, whose being is absolute sharing, not on the level of things or common interests, but the sharing of self, the emptying of self to other, for the other, the perfect being present. My friends Emily and Chase yesterday gave us a new glimpse of what this looks like in their relationship. By laying down their lives for one another in the sacrament of marriage, they showed this self-emptying love of God, this absolute commitment to the other. This is the image of God in you, in all of us. So the question today is, how present are you to God? How present are you to your wife or husband, to your children? How present are you even to those strangers you may meet today? Let us focus on our being present to one another.